Important. And so we will start with the roll call.
Roll call, Director Bilodeau,
Present.
Director Tran, Director Yeo, Director Whitaker,
Here.
Director Sheldon, Director Amezcua, Director Meeks, Director Nguyen, Director Rowe,
Oh, here.
Director Green. You do have a quorum of your committee.
Great. That brings us to are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Fantastic. Is there any visitor participation?
I see no hands.
Great.
We just wanted to introduce our intern, Angel. You haven't met her yet.
Hello, Angel. Welcome. Nice to meet you. That brings us to the consent calendar. That's one item, which are the meeting minutes from the previous meeting. What's the pleasure of the committee?
I'll move it. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Will you call the roll?
Roll call, Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Rowe.
Aye.
That motion carries with three yes votes.
Great. That brings us to the state legislative update.
Thank you, Chair Moses. Paul and Jason Eichert.
Oh, we have Paul.
Yes.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. Pleasure to be here with you this morning. Paul Gonsalves, happy to provide a quick update on what's going on here in Sacramento. So as many of you probably already know, the legislature did return from summer recess on August 14th. They had until September 1st to move all bills out of the Appropriation Committee. Otherwise, they would die. The Appropriations Committee in both the Assembly and the Senate had roughly 1,000 bills to hear by that September 1st deadline. And of those 1,000 bills heard by the Appropriations Committees, about 650 passed and about 350 were held. So that leaves about 650 for the legislature to consider over the next week. As you probably know, a week from today, Thursday, September 14th, is the last day of the session for this year. So things are going to be moving very quickly. Lots to be done, but all things considering in years past, it's looking like a pretty manageable week for the legislature. Tomorrow is the deadline to amend bills on the floor. That rule can be waived. However, the Constitution requires all bills to be in print for 72 hours before they're heard. So that really means that September 11th is the last day for bills to be amended. So of course we'll be monitoring those and making sure if there's any gotten amends or any amendments of concern for the district, we'll notify you and the team immediately. Since we are in the first year of a 2-year session, any bill not passed this year will become a 2-year bill. And then the governor will have until October 14th to take action on any of the bills that were sent to him for his consideration. Moving on, there's new leadership coming to the legislature. On July 1st, Assemblymember Robert Rivas from the Bay Area, Salinas area, became the 71st Speaker of the Assembly, replacing former Speaker Anthony Rendon. Additionally, last week, Senator McGuire was able to secure enough votes to become the next President Pro Tem of the Senate, replacing Senate President Pro Tem Tony Atkins. The date of that transition has not been announced yet, but they say it will most likely happen in early January of next year. So as soon as we hear more about those dates, we'll be definitely make sure we let you know. But most importantly, with a new speaker and a new pro tem comes new leadership, new majority floor leaders, new committee chairs, new committee makeups. And this means that next year we will have to be doing a lot of educating for those new committee chairs and the new committee members on the Orange County Water District and all the great things that you do. So again, 1 week left of session. Going to be hot and heavy, but lots to do with a little bit of time. But we'll make sure we keep you guys apprised if anything pops up in this last week. That concludes my report, Mr. Chair, and happy to answer any questions.
All right, any questions?
Hands.
No hands?
Jason Eichert.
Yeah. Jason, do you want to give a report?
Sure. And I will likewise try to make it quick for you all, because I may be interrupting your lunch otherwise. So one quick update on the water rights legislation we've been discussing throughout the year. So as we reported when we last met, two of the three worst bills that were in play this year, AB 460 and AB 1337, failed passage in our 2-year bills. So we don't need to dwell on those. The remaining bill, SB 389 by Senator Allen, to remind you, when it was introduced, this was a really problematic bill. And in short, it turned due process for water rights on its head. And it said, we, the state board, have the ability, we will challenge you, the water right holder, to prove to us that you have a valid water right and require you to provide any information necessary to do that. So rather than being innocent until proven guilty, you were assumed guilty for misusing water inappropriately. And beyond that, even more problematic for just planning purposes, it said that if you have a unused portion of your water right, to make this as simple as possible, it made it very easy for the board to declare that unused portion forfeit. So both very problematic provisions. We lobbied in opposition to the bill, our firms, on your behalf, as did CMU Way and Aqua and the entire community, the water community, and are happy to report that those problematic provisions have come out of the bill. Over the course of the summer recess, CMU Way continued to negotiate for one final amendment that provided a little bit of due process in what is left, which is essentially an ability for the board to request information and make an ascertainment about a water right. In its final form, the bill probably has more of an impact on you know, pre-1914 water rights than others. But at any rate, it has been significantly amended down. CMU Way and Aqua are now neutral on the bill, as are most of the water community, and largely, you know, all of the concerns with it have been resolved. What we do want to say is the issue of water rights is probably not going away. We've had a pretty successful year, Aqua, CMU Way, OCWD, and the water community. But, you know, basically, we have an old system of water rights that has, you know, grandfathered pre-1914 rights in, and legislators seem to be very interested in digging back into that issue and digging into water rights in general. So not trying to sound defeatist, but I mean, obviously we had a good year, but I think we just need to be ready to keep dealing with this in the coming years. So that's the report out on SB 389 by Senator Allen. And then briefly, I believe most of you were at the board meeting last night when we discussed the water bonds, or I'm sorry, the resource and climate bonds, but the brief update there is, as we've kind of speculated in the past, they aren't moving forward in 2023. So we will continue to work with your staff and advocate for OCWD priorities in those bonds next year and through the fall. So happy to stop there and answer any questions.
So then the target would be for the water bond to be on the November 24 ballot?
Correct.
And it's not really a water bond because it's a climate change bond. Is that right, Jason?
Yeah, so, climate and resources and wildfire and flood. So,
And what about a third of that is water?
Yeah. So right now, each of those bonds is about $15 billion, and they're at $5.2 billion for water.
Yeah.
But those numbers are also going to adjust over time. So because part of what will happen now, since it's going to be on the November ballot, is there will be time for additional polling, and they'll right size it.
Okay. Go ahead. Kelly.
Well, the issue of water rights in the state, I think the State Water Resource Control Board was supposed to have all of its water rights documentation that was in paper form into an electronic database by now. Is that true? You know, if the State Water Resource Control Board Water Rights Division has all of its data in electronic files?
I actually don't know whether they were supposed to or not, but I would be really surprised if they do.
Yeah, it's a long effort, but I think they're in the midst or should be done with it. It might be prompting them to get more engaged in water rights settlements or disputes.
I think at the risk of, you know, giving you more thoughts on this than you want, I think that what happens here is that we've been in the last decade in a long trend of the state trying to centralize its control of water a little bit more and more, and the attempt to try and reevaluate the water rights system has to be viewed through that lens.
Bruce.
Yes, Jason, not really a question, but a comment. It's really good to hear some positive news on the water rights front and the collective effort and the efforts of your firm as well. So we appreciate that. Rare good news here.
Thank you. And we appreciate the efforts of all of you and as directors and Director Green, or President Green was involved as well.
I just want to mention for next month, I'll be bringing the ledge platform to the committee. And that would be if we wanted, if board members wanted to add more policies on water rights and bond bond policies, that would be something we'll bring to you soon.
Okay. Anybody else on state? Director Schell, I think.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason. Jason's. And we're in relation, or in regards to the climate bond or water bond, I don't know what they're going to call it. Did they know yet what they're going to call it?
I think almost certainly they're going to call it a climate, wildfire, flood, water, and whatever they think that the voters and the legislators voting on it want to hear.
Depends on the poll. The focus group. So,
yeah,
as we going from the statement about our ledge policies and last night's conversation, I think I want to just entertain, I want to propose some thoughts for the consideration of the committee. I was thinking about this as one aspect might be to go back to Prop 1 and see what we like and what we don't like, what's working, what's not working, and fix that at the same time. I don't know if Prop 1, was that a constitutional, was that a legislative measure on the ballot? Would it be the same as the one that's going to be in November?
Yeah, it was a legislative measure. The former speaker, that's kind of how he got into his leadership position, as he helped organize that. So that was 2014 measure. So you could amend it on as part of a future bond. What the appetite would be for that in Sacramento, I'm not sure, but it's technically the mechanism.
Thank you. Okay, so I want to confirm that. If it was a constitutional amendment, you couldn't do it, but if it's the same type of measure, you can.
It was not an amendment to Prop 1 was an amendment to the Constitution. Right. It was a voter approved bond.
Correct. Yes, Mike.
I was just going to ask, is your question, Director Sheldon, kind of the status?
I was just halfway done with my question.
Okay.
It was a preamble to it. Sorry. And so with that said, you know, I think this public benefit aspect to all these monies, it's always been in Prop 1, but I maybe didn't come out as much when we were reviewing Proposition 1. And that seems to me to have been something that has been not as keenly looked upon because it has diverted monies from creating water versus non-water items in those water plants. You have to have a certain percentage of this and a certain percentage of this public benefit, and this public benefit related to the Delta, and it eats up the money that we thought was all going to water supply, and it goes to non-water supply items. And so I would suggest that we consider modifying those aspects of Proposition 1. Certainly the public benefits are good, but I think the water hardening and production is the primary benefit and should not be reduced for the other. That's one thought that I have. I don't know if committee members want to think about this next month when we go over it. That would be one thing. I don't know if anyone wants to suggest something right now. Kelly, you seem to always have a lot of great ideas.
I'm not making that long.
So that's just, and I understand the political realities, but I mean, that's certainly something of been a bone of contention of a lot of folks that I've talked to. So, and I think we should come up with, you know, what's our wish list and circulate that among our colleagues in the water industry and get their view on it and resist the temptation to be defeatist and say, no, it'll never happen. Because again, every new idea has to start off somewhere. And so I think we should kind of come up with what's reasonable, but certainly what we would like. And so I'm just beginning that conversation today. Thank you.
Okay. Any other input on our state legislative update? Well, thank you. That'll bring us to the federal legislative update.
I'm through for now.
Thank you. We have David French on the line to provide the federal update.
Good afternoon, Chair and committee and staff. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to be with you today. I'll provide a very brief update for you on the FY24 appropriations, the Senate PFAS legislation, an activity that actually took place today, and the status of new legislation to create a Western Riverside National Wildlife Refuge. So Congress came back this week. The Senate was in town. The House is back next week, an extensive August recess. They have a number of items, a busy agenda as they move forward. That includes a supplemental spending package, FY24 spending bills, and a continuing resolution that needs to be passed by September 30th, or Congress shuts down. The supplemental deals with appropriations for FEMA disaster relief monies for Ukraine, military actions, and southern border authorities as well. As is normal the case with Congress, there's disagreements over what should be there in there and what's not. House Republicans are looking to remove the Ukraine provisions and try to deal with that separately. There's a real likelihood that we will see the federal government shut down at the end of the month. I'm welcome to take odds and bets with you, but that train is looking to derail at the end of the month. The length of any continuing resolution is likely to be into December, but it could go year long as well. And while that's important to the district, is that in the House Interior Spending Bill, there's $1.75 million to address your PFAS issues, and that was put in by Representative Young Kim. If we do not see an FY24 appropriations bill, that measure will go by the wayside. So I'm hopeful that we'll see the spending bills passed and some sort of agreement to be reached. Regarding PFAS, I'm going to go a little bit off script because there was a hearing today in Senate EPW that was focused on the Infrastructure Act, Investment Act, and how that's being distributed in the status. It turned into a discussion which included a number of references to PFAS. Senator Capito is a Republican from West Virginia, chimed in that there needs to be a liability exemption and protect passive receivers. That was joined by all the witnesses that were present. You had water folks from North Carolina, North Dakota, and from Washington, D.C. region, the Washington suburban. And also Senator Bozeman from Arkansas, he asked a specific question as to the impacts, and each and every one of the witnesses is almost after going off the script that Mike puts forth or others within the water world in terms of the potential harm to the water community if there's not a liability exemption. So that was a positive hearing. We'll provide you with a more detailed review of that as the day goes on. I also want to note that the Senate EPW is looking at the potential of doing a hearing specific to PFAS at the end of the month. That may be pushed out of the way as other things take place here in Congress. But your fellow folks from the water community, but on the national level, have been very vocal. I know the district has had conversations with Padilla staff. Senator Padilla is a member of that committee to communicate the importance of that liability exemption. And we continue to work with you to make that happen. The last thing I want to bring up, and I'm available to answer any questions as well as I end this, but Representative Calvert is looking at the end of the month of introducing legislation on the Western Riverside National Wildlife Refuge. The regional water agencies, including your brethren down at Rancho California, have been very engaged in two areas. One is making sure the boundaries are not harmful to your operations. And then two is that there's a savings cost, which deals with access and other matters, that those are both present. Calvert has been extremely receptive. We've had conversations with Feinstein staff on those issues as well. We do not at this time expect that legislation to move until next year in the second part of the session. just the nature of things that are on the block. But if it does move, we'll let you know as well. So that's a very brief overview. And I know if there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
I just have a comment that President Green and Mike Marks are going back to DC, and Eric Saperstein gained a meeting with Senator Padilla. So we'll have that meeting to discuss PFAS exemption funding as well. Good job, ENS Resources.
Yeah, we look forward to having you back here.
Yeah, I have a question related to map boundaries for the Riverside Habitat Conservation. What is this thing called the savings clause? Could you describe what that is? Do you know what I mean?
The basic premise of a saving clause is to provide access to facilities, operations that might be within the refuge areas, that there's no restrictions for that. And I know that some of your neighbors had issues with pipelines or being able to go in and do maintenance on certain land. So to provide that wiggle room to be able to get onto those lands and do what you need to do.
I've never heard that before. So thank you.
Steve, regarding the wildlife refuge, have you heard anything from Senator or Supervisor Kevin Jeffries' office or Congressman Calvert more on that? I know they've contacted me, and they've been more focused on it.
I know that the supervisors and the Farm Bureau have been heavily engaged. We've been working kind of the water agency side and with Calvert's staff, Jack Lincoln back here. But I know there's a lot of concerns. There's questions whether there should be a refuge act at all. So those debates are all on the table, sir.
That was the question I had raised initially. In regards to the PFAS and the Senate, will any of these potential hearings include Senator Mike Lee as a member of that committee?
He tends to be vocal. So yes, I would suspect that he's engaged. I have not had discussions with him about this, but all the comments today that were made in the committee about PFAS from the water agency side, the members were all Republicans that made those comments. The Democrats were largely quiet today. That doesn't mean they don't have an opinion, but in terms of supporting the liability exemption, there was strong vocal support from Capito and Ross and Bozeman.
Thank you. And is he a member of the committee where those issues will be heard? Did he sit on the committee that will potentially be hearing this item?
I will have to check for you to see if Senator Lee serves on that committee.
Thank you. Thank you. If you could please let our staff know. Thank you.
Any other questions or input?
Are you still writing for the New York Times?
I do get that on occasion. At least it's not someone who's convicted of something. He's very well known and an interesting gentleman.
Yes, interesting.
Okay. I think that'll wrap up our federal legislative update. So thank you. And we'll move on to the OC Water Summit update.
Director Sheldon, we just looked up and Senator Lee is not on the Senate EPW.
I think he was. It's on another one.
Okay, thank you, Chair Belladone, members of the committee. We have a brief update on the Orange County Water Summit. Director Sheldon is chair of that committee, so please chime in if I miss anything. As we went over last meeting, the summit will take place Friday, October 13th at the Westin. To date, we checked this morning, we have about 209 attendees registered. That does include kind of those associated with table sponsorships as well.
But in the coming weeks, you know, we're about a month or so out, we're going to be sending eBLAS for kind of the price increase and then touting some of our speakers, which I'll get into in a moment, that have gained confirmation. So we do anticipate there'll be a spike in registration. And always as it gets closer, folks, you know, forget to RSVP. So we do anticipate 350 to 400 attendees as we've had in the past. We have gained 46,600 in sponsorships, and staff continues to follow up so that we can use our registration costs as well as our sponsorship to offset the cost to the district. So here's a list of our sponsors so far, and thank you to those on the line, like Mesa Water District, for continuing to sponsor this annual event. So quickly, I'll run through the program and just specifically highlight some of the speakers who have confirmed or dropped out from when we last discussed it at the meeting. So the program will run from 7:30 to 1:30. It will have four sessions and it will conclude with a networking lunch. Our first session is right here, Drought or Missed Opportunities, moderated by Lisa Oland. And then we have Darcy and Jason. We did have Elf Brandt as well, but he recently dropped out. So we are looking into other alternatives from the state, from DWR, from the governor's office to come and participate. We're happy to report that both Congressman Lou Correa and Congressman John Duarte have confirmed their participation in the Water Summit. So they'll be about on our federal panel talking about infrastructure and funding water infrastructure to provide reliable water supply. Our third session from last time, we did change a couple things around. So we confirmed Dr. Rung Fu from UCLA and also Steve Greenhut, who is a former journalist from the Orange County Register, as well as he sits on the board and many other positions. So this will be a discussion amongst these folks, moderated by Fritz Coleman, talking about how the state is going to move forward and implementing policy to really address water supply and not just climate change. And then this will conclude the summit, our fourth panel, moderated by Lisa. We'll have Adan Ortega, Ed Ring, and Glenn Farrell talking about what's our water supply future. So what's to come in the next few years and how we're going to make a sustainable supply for the region and the state. Anything you want to add, Dr. Schultz, on summit?
Okay. That'd be very thought-provoking.
That's a lot of people talking.
They all have about an hour. Mm-hmm. The different sessions, yeah. Approximately.
And we used to have more sessions, but I think we've condensed them to allow for kind of more in-depth discussion.
Quality over quantity.
Right.
I know on the budget, we're working to increase that, and you and I brainstorm, Crystal, on creating new opportunities or new types of sponsorships, like the van or the transportation sponsorship, mm-hmm. or sponsor for this or sponsor for that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how's that going?
We just had a meeting yesterday, so we're continuing to solicit sponsorship, and then we're going to do just individual follow-ups, kind of saying, here's what we have available. So we'll keep you updated. I do think we'll get more.
Do we have session sponsors?
We do. Well, we missed far. Yeah.
For which session? Who's the sponsor?
Here.
Okay. So we could, we have three other, and what's the cost?
$3,500.
There we go.
Yeah.
Raise it now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you had good thoughts on that. I think we'll get more.
Mark's going to walk at the beginning. He's going to hold a sign and say, session, walk around.
Yeah. Before too, that was a fairly recent sponsorship level. We designed at 5,000 fan and doing that one. Uh-huh. So
I saw that. I go to core.
Well, it's because we used to have Disney who did a lot of the costs for that, and now we're incurring all of it, so we're trying to bring in more money.
I think we just create those other opportunities and they'll
absolutely
respond. Great. So that's going well. Thank you. It's pushing forward. This has been a lot of energy, thought, and process into it.
Should be a good Friday the 13th.
Yeah, absolutely. May I move on?
Oh, yeah, sure. Please.
Okay. So I wanted to give, in your packets, you have a kind of extensive public outreach update regarding OCWD and GWRS outreach, but I wanted to take the opportunity to highlight a few things. We have definitely been busy scheduling meetings, both on the local, state, and federal level. So here's a list of some of our meetings that we've had, and most recent ones, I believe, with Lou Correa and Young Kim. So staff continues to reach out to federal and state and local electeds to brief them on OCWD priorities, and we will continue to do so. We also continue to reach out to city councils, water districts, and chambers. So here's a listing of some of the meetings that have taken place, and then the ones with an asterisk are those that are scheduled and will come up in the near future. So we will continue to add this list and make sure that all of our stakeholders are briefed about OCWD, our water supply, and our priorities. We do continue to get media attention for the GWRS and for OCWD's programs and projects. So most recently, that Tropical Storm Hillary, that brought in some news hits as well. We had Ben Smith interviewed, Adam Hutchinson, and then Mehul Patel as well for the GWRS. So that continues to have a very strong media outreach. For this past session, we had about 10.38 million for global outreach. So here's a showing of just some of the recent articles that appeared just these last couple of weeks. We also continue to engage in social media, and these three staff members back here, including our intern Angel, they work heavily on social media. So shout out to them for continuing to increase our influence on social media, as well as our engagement and outreach. We really try to highlight staff, so showing faces and projects and moving things, equipment seems to do really well. So you can see here, we featured one of our environmental specialists, Brian Oakey. So we have about 1,000 views on our first.
What is that about? We asked environmental specialists. It's like a.
So we just start asking, you know, what do you do here at the district? What do you enjoy? And so we kind of went out into the field and filmed as they were actually using their equipment.
Man in the street sort of thing. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Do you like working at
5 or 10 minute thing?
Oh, really short, because nobody wants to watch anything long. Yeah. So it's more like 30 seconds to no more than a minute. So we're going to continue this and trying to feature staff from the different departments, and not only helps with kind of the district's outreach, but also helps to maintain kind of career interest in the water industry as well.
That sounds neat.
Yeah, and then we did get a positive shout out on Reddit, excuse me. So Reddit gets about like 50 million users per day. And so they actually mentioned our stormwater capture efforts. So continue to get featured on a lot of great media stuff, increasing the district's reach. We also continue to create videos. You know, videos has been increasingly popular on all of the platforms, creating short ones, but we're also trying to really highlight what all of our staff do, especially the recharge folks who often are behind the scenes and are really the foundation of our operation. So we worked with Ben Smith to highlight the important work that the folks do out there in recharge. And then something new that we're doing, we did talk about public service announcements. So on the local kind of cable channels, they're willing to air some of our OCWD videos about what we do, who we are, so long as they're non-political in nature. But we're going to be taking advantage of this and highlighting different projects and programs like the GWRS, stormwater capture, PFAS, et cetera. So that is something free that will increase the district's outreach. And then Director Sheldon, he was on a segment for the Dennis Quaid Show Viewpoint. And so that is going to start airing, and they'll be both kind of like a 1 minute commercial along with the longer segment. So that will start airing in the near future.
What is that about?
It is about the groundwater replenishment system. So Viewpoint is kind of started by Dennis Quaid. They approached OCSAN and OCWD to tell the story about the GWRS. It's kind of an educational platform. They push a lot of shows to tell you.
He handles many subjects. This is one of them.
This is one of many.
Cool.
webinar highlights. We do continue to host webinars when COVID hit. We did host them monthly. We've kind of transitioned to hosting about 4 to 6 a year. So just wanted to highlight these webinars continue to be really well received. To date, we've had 28. We've had a total of 15,000 views, and we have had a global audience. So I think the benefit of hosting both in-person and virtual is with virtual, your reach can expand greatly. So we've had folks on from Australia, from Canada, from Brazil, from China, all the areas highlighted in blue have been on and have been part of our webinar series. So we will continue to host these. Here are just some of the great quotes that folks have shared, expressing their appreciation for these and that the information is useful and educational. So we will continue to host these. We typically try to partner with a producer or another outside agency to highlight a project that the district is spearheading or collaborating on. Awards, this was a big year for awards for the GWRS. Director Rowe was just at the CSDA conference picking up one of them. So we have 8 awards total for the GWRS so far and more to come. We have these 3 additional awards that will be picked up in the fall in October and December, all highlighting the groundwater replenishment system. And then we did host our GWRS final expansion employee appreciation lunch, which was enjoyed by UC San and OCWD as well. Upcoming events I wanted to mention is the September 8th Waco. Staff is going to host a table at the Westminster Fall Festival and pass out information about OCWD and our projects and programs. And then we have the summit and the groundwater adventure tour on October 27th, as well as the upcoming Children's Water Education Festival. If any directors, I know Director Green is going to attend, so any directors that want to join us for a part of the tour or for all of, please do send me an email and we'll make sure that you are signed up. We did post this event and we filled up within a week, so we already have a waiting list. And then just wanted to end that the Children's Water Education Festival, since the board authorized entering into the contracts with UCI and James Events, we are actively underway planning, and Danny Birch is leading the planning of the Children's Water Education Festival and has done a great job. So we'll be reporting back to ComLodge on a monthly basis as we get kind of students and presenters registered. And that concludes my update. Was there any questions?
Any questions? I just have a couple comments on public relations and public messaging is really important. I just think that this agency does a great job calibrating the message properly, because this agency can be very boastful. There's a thin line where you cross over that to where it becomes off-putting, but you also don't want to be a shrinking violet. So I think to calibrate that properly is a real art. And I see that that's practiced very well here. The only other, and I credit our general manager and your staff as well, you and your staff. So to me, that's a really important thing. Of the agencies that I belong and several different agencies, it's nice to feel that we're the good guys here. We get that message across very well. The other thing is, as far as potential employees in the future and everything, I know it's endemic nowadays, the short span of attention, but as long as they understand, it may require a little longer span of attention to actually work here.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I want to add to what Fred said about calibration. I think first, I agree with him, and I would say, in my observation, we almost understate ourselves to our detriment, but I think we do it in a genuine and humble manner. And so it's a noble thing, and that it's not, we don't overdo it. I perceive other agencies as doing that. And I think the calibration is good, that we are sincere and straightforward, and we'll continue that. So again, that's a strong compliment on how we don't over-promote ourselves.
You want an example of one of those? Mm-hmm. Worked at the county, OC San back then, put out
a real self-promoting document that said their motto was making each day possible. And so I just had to call them up and I said, you know, this is a bit out there, I think, to actually claim credit for making each day
possible.
And they were a little taken aback by it, but it was constructive criticism that I provided them. That was one such example where you kind of.
That's kind of a Larry David moment.
They didn't want to hear it, but they needed to hear it.
It's a Larry David moment. So, on the calibration, I want to go into a subject that is important and is sensitive. And so, I want to call it out as sensitive as climate change. And we've all seen, we have had a hot summer and we've seen it warmer. And I was told it's been the warmest in the past 150 years or something. I don't know if it's been the warmest in 151 years, but it's been the warmest in 150 years. So, you know, we have a lot of history on this earth on changes in our weather and climate. And so my concern is that with this huge, I mean, every day I'm hit with climate catastrophe in my algorithms and my all these things. And so I think much of them is an exaggeration. Partially by the climate scientists, mostly by the media. And that's why I wanted to have this session we're having. And so when I point to an article that a climate scientist just published where this person was writing on wildfires in California for Nature Publications, a prominent publication, and he wrote that he had to censor himself to not really put in other causes of wildfires, such as fuel maintenance and other things like that, in his article, because if he wanted to get it published, he had to only talk about one issue, that was climate change. Spoke about any other issue, he felt that he would not be published. And while he thinks that is the climate is one of them, there are other many other contributing factors. So, point I'm getting to is that I've audited some of our outreach, and I just want to say that there's a we do want to conform with what is there, but at the same time, we can't, I don't know if we can do what we want, but we've got to ensure that we show why we're doing things. Is it for the climate? Is it because it's for the water supply? What is it? What's really why we're doing things? Because I don't want to add to misinformation. And also more, when we make our policy decisions, you know, all these hundreds of millions of dollars are coming in for something that doesn't bring us more water supply. And I don't want to get attracted to this other loud noise and funding source and all those things that we have to respond to, but that's not what's providing that water supply that we are expected to provide. And it can be a distraction. And I recognize that it's, you know, we can all be distracted by that. So we have to keep our focus on what we all know to be true as to how we serve our constituents. That's the down and dirty water supply. We're in the water supply business if it's a bigger organization. So I just want to say that based upon what you said, the calibration, as we calibrate our policies and our messaging, that we don't fall into what everybody else is saying, that we disagree with it, we just don't fall into it.
Well, you don't want to be alarmist because that erodes your credibility.
Agreed.
And I don't know that we use that as an excuse for what we're doing on climate change. We're very, very, I don't know in any presentation that we give that we mention those two words. So we're neutral on that. And you're right. We're about building real resiliency, having enough water for our customers. Those types of points are the ones that we have.
Right, I agree.
Yeah. So
I've seen some. I can share with you, but generally, I do agree with what you said.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. I do agree that because it's hard to resist not doing that.
In today's
right. when everyone else is going a direction, it's hard to and you know if there's something that affects our water supply, then whatever that may be, we need to respond to it. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it is. So,
well, it's interesting the conversations they're having at Metropolitan right now, trying to figure out what projects they build. And they have this whole Camp 4, I think is what they're calling it. They're looking at climate adaptation And
master plan.
And if you take, yeah, and if you take, thank you. And if you take certain scenarios, I mean, it's unattainable, you know, as far as what would be required in order to meet those conclusions, those projections, when they come to how much water would be needed in the future based on climate change. You're right. I mean, it's an issue that that is out there, and that I think it has to be challenged.
In recognition and deserving of an adult conversation without being called.
Because if you take the extreme examples, you're never going to be able to develop enough water supply to be able to meet the demand.
And there's no balance of the median at all. It's pretty funny on all this.
And on the other side,
but it is driving policy makers
to certain
conclusions. And, right. And water, I mean, that's just an example of what's going on at
Matt water rationing
today.
And then the water, I call water rationing.
Yeah.
So, and with Mets. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, I had training a long time ago. Media is looking for the three C's: change, conflict, and controversy. Okay. If you don't have that in a story, then you don't have a story for people to read.
If it bleeds, it leads.
It bleeds.
And I've been a lot of projects where they say it's a conflict in the newspaper or television, and I know it's not because I'm intimately involved with the situation. And I just, sons of bitches just lying to people about what the situation is. And it's not a problem. Our goal here is to find water for the public. Want to pump more water? We'll find some more water for you to use. But make sure it's safe.
Okay. That concludes the item. Great.
I'm done.
We'll place all these on.
I feel better.
Great. Fantastic. Any director's announcements or reports? Hearing out any general manager's announcements. Okay, Mira, chair. Thank you for
Off the camera.
I will